for Real Estate episode 4, why don't you go straight into it, as I think this one's going to be a bit of a longer one. What is our question of the week?
I think it is. And this is one I'm sure every single person has been asked at some point in their life. Mm-hmm. And that is, if you had 3 wishes, what would they be? But I feel like we need to set some parameters.
Okay.
Because I think any sane adult is going to be like, okay, cure cancer, end world hunger, and fix the climate, right? So let's put saving humanity kind of to the side. And you know, any kid our kid's age is going to be like, I scream every day for, you know, the day. So let's kind of aim for the middle of those two things and make it better, sort of personal and fun, but saving humanity aside. Is that fair?
Yep, I think that sounds good, because it would be too easy for me to be like, yeah, reverse all global warming to this moment and start us back at zero. Do you want to go first? Do you want to do one and then I do one and then you do one, or do you want to do it?
Let's go back and forth. I feel like if you had asked me this when I was like 22, I would have been like, oh yeah, like I want to live forever. Now, there are very few things I can think of that would be worse than immortality. Because it's like, first of all, you have to add in the condition of like, you get to stay young forever, because then it's like, if your body continues to decay, eventually you're just like a pile of dust with eyeballs and consciousness. It's like, who wants that? But then if you get to stay young forever, then you see your spouse, your kids, everyone else grow up and die. So like, really, I don't think there's any good way to live forever.
But and you'd be holding hands with them at the end of their life, and people be looking at you like, what is this, like 20-year-old holding hands with an 80-year-old man?
Right. And that's why I think vampires are so sad. Darker by themselves. So I think it wouldn't be immortality related, but it probably would be death related, which would be like, when it is my time, I'd like it to be swift and unexpected. Like almost like a cartoon, like walking down the sidewalk and a piano falls on your head.
Or a stop sign smacking you in the head on your run.
If anyone missed it, I had an 8-mile-an-hour winds last week and a stop sign literally flew past my face. So yeah, I'd like it to be something like that, which is, I don't see it coming.
And yeah, not now.
Snuffed out like a candle. I think that would probably be wish number one. What about you?
I think I would wish that I could have a teleportation device that would have no side effects or kill me with the radiation or something.
Would this be because your family is across the Atlantic? So you
So I could go see my family, so I could go travel without having to take planes. Mm. So I could, you know, go do something for work and then be home for dinner kind of thing. And do lots of little chunks.
That, like, that's going to exist.
Do I think it's going to exist?
Yeah. Like at some point, are we going to be able to be beamed around like in Star Trek?
I don't know. See, the thing though with that is that I've actually talked to someone about this. I can't remember who it is. If that was a reality for everyone, the world wouldn't be the world, because like I would zap to you, you'd zap to somewhere else, you know, like, so then I'd zap to follow you and then like, no one would ever be in one place.
But think about this, like back when they did like the Oregon Trail, when it took 9 months to get across the country, what if they're like, what if someday you could be across the country in like 3 days?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. 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 Well, and like, the phone thing, the fact you and I, like if you'd have told someone 100 years ago that you'd be able to look at someone and talk to them in real time, they'd be like, yeah.
Like anywhere in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, maybe, but they also, kind of makes me think of like a microwave. Like if you put yourself in a microwave every day, would there be some damage there by like Willy Wonka style? Was it Willy Wonka?
It was Willy Wonka where the kid jumped in the truck and then I love how that resolves because it doesn't. Willy Wonka's like, oh yeah, put him in the taffy puller. But I think honestly what is more realistic is like this whole virtual reality, like metaverse, that's going to become more and more realistic to where it looks like me and it looks like you. And we're like, hey, let's go for a run in Central Park this morning. And it looks like we're on a run in Central Park.
That is weird to think about. Yeah.
So I think like that technology will get there. I hope I'm not around for it because that's terrible. Yeah.
I know that is really scary for me. That's taking the next step towards Wall-E. Okay. What with the movie Wall-E, what is your next one?
Let's see. I think the next one would be probably in regards to my kids. I don't even know how to phrase this in like a really neat little concise way, other than that I want them to experience the full spectrum of childhood and have the fortitude to come out intact on the other side. Like, I want them to, everything from like, from my childhood that I cherish, like the smell of a skating rink, that is so hard to find these days, or the feeling of like your legs stinging after you sprint for 100 feet through blackberry bushes. Like, and I also want to have, as a parent, the courage to stand back and let it happen. Cause like, I remember this summer when I was like 10 years old and my dad had this ancient unicycle in the garage, and I was bound and determined to learn how to ride this unicycle. And we had this concrete basketball court. And so every day that summer, I would ride a few feet and fall, to the point that like, I still have scars now at 33 years old, permanent scars on my knees. And my mom, she must've just been standing behind a window, just watching me fall and get so frustrated that I would pick up the unicycle and throw it. But guess what? At the end of that summer, I rode across that basketball court. I rode across around the house. Like, I was able to ride a unicycle, and she let me fail. So I hope that I have the courage to let my kids run wild in the woods and not worry about where they're at, or at least not stop them, despite the fact that I'm worried. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And how good do you think you are at that right now?
Not great.
Not great. It is hard.
I think it's something that Michael, my husband, is so, men just, usually in general, I think men thrive at allowing their kids to take risk and encouraging them to take risk and letting them get hurt. Whereas a lot of the time we, as women, I want to protect her from any sort of hurt, even though letting my kid get frustrated is just about the best thing I could do. It's the best thing I could do for my kids. And I always think back to this one podcast I heard. It was with this guy who was blind, but yet he could stand in like a clearing at a park and like tap his cane, and through like the audio, like center of his brain, be able to tell there's a bathroom over there, there's a trash can over here, there's a bench behind me, because he became so able to almost like echolocate, because when he was a kid, his mom bought him a freaking bike and he was blind. And she was like, you are going to learn how to ride a bike. And he's like, oh yeah, I crashed all the time. I could have died, but she forced me to learn how to ride a bike. And I did. So I think back to that of like, if that mom could encourage her blind son to ride a bicycle, I can sort of bite my tongue while my kid is trying to do a front flip on a trampoline, you know?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's so hard. Like, because you get the visions of what could go wrong. And like, at least for me, I find there's a level of comfort. I'm like, okay, they're out there. She's climbing up that thing. Okay, if she falls back, all right, she might hurt herself, but she's not going to do any damage. But then like, you see them running on cement and you see them trip over something and you're like, not the teeth, not the teeth, not the teeth. Or like, you know, there's like certain things that you're like, I'm willing to let you fall, but please just don't smash your face in. Like,
please don't break your neck and get paralyzed. Like, you see the worst case scenario. And I think that's biological. We're supposed to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you want to like stop that. That's a good one though. Okay. I feel like I would want to have some like 1 hour TV show, TV documentary that was done very well. So it wasn't politicized at all, but it was just an educational hour that everyone was like, I don't know, hypnotized or something to watch, to just learn like some facts about things, so that even if they didn't believe it, it like, and it wasn't done in a like telling people way, but like a curiosity standpoint. So that would make people at least think or open their mind. And it be done in a very unbiased way. I would love to be able to have a way to just speak to everyone. It's in the US, because I think outside of the US kind of things follow. Just be able to make some kind of documentary that was just full of, such a hard one to quantify, is it what is a truth, but just so that people could be given all the information, because right now there is no way to speak to every person. So something like that.
I hear that. I think the best way to reach people like that, I think it's in ways like you said, that are not didactic, like ways that are not preachy. The most impactful things I've seen, and especially because I have a feeling you might be speaking a little bit to like climate stuff, right? Like, for me, the most impactful things are when you're not looking for it. Like when you're watching like Blue Planet or something like that, we're like, oh my gosh, like look at these poor little penguins who have nowhere to live. It's like stuff that you don't realize, because we live in America and we don't live in Antarctica and we don't see the rising seas and we don't see a lot of things until they're too late, or we turn a blind eye to it. So yeah, I'm sure there is something, but again, mandatory viewing. I don't know how that would be.
Yeah. And there's another example that's kind of off topic, but it really, I think, hits home in that, like, Malcolm Gladwell did a revisionist history episode on COVID and how dogs can smell out COVID by just walking next to people. You could put a line of people and the dog would tell you which of those people had COVID.
What?
But that was never used because, like, you know, but like, if that kind of information was given to everyone, like, that could have changed everything, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Something that was very thoughtful, that contained just information about opening our mind. So that's a good example. Like, dogs, we see ourselves as superior. Mm-hmm. Dogs, we see dogs as inferior. But while they don't have some of the things we have, their sense, their olfactory is 100x ours. So
I like thinking about that when we're like, we think that we are artists, or we think that we see everything there is to see, when really the animal that has like, that sees like 20 times more colors than we are, than we can, is like this little shrimp that listens to us. And like, we really are so, so limited in what we can perceive, like in our actual perceived universe. It's actually incredibly limited compared to other creatures, even other mammals on Earth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Really, third one.
This one is like, it's just super selfish, I guess, but you notice, like, I have struggled with just horrific insomnia for the last couple of years. Even so, like, before, like, I texted Tina literally at midnight last night and I was like, I have not slept in 2 days. I'm not sleeping tonight. I don't know if I can even record these. But then I slept for 2 hours. So I'm like, hey, I slept a little, so I'm going to do it. I would give anything, and for most people, this sounds so ridiculous, but I would give anything. I would drain my savings account today for the ability to close my eyes and be asleep in 30 seconds anytime I wanted. Because for me, it's like, I can go 3-4 days without sleep, no matter how badly I want to sleep. So for me to have the ability to shut my brain off would be literally money. I would throw every cent I have, and then some. I would go into serious, serious debt for the ability to sleep whenever I wanted. So it's pretty selfish, but honestly, life sucks without sleep sometimes.
I know, absolutely. I mean, you know, I've struggled with insomnia in my past. I know, as I've said to you so many times, it is the worst. Like, yeah. And I, you know, I've mentioned a lot that the insomnia was actually what was the straw that broke the camel's back for me in terms of my, like, quitting running and the red S. Like, that was the bit that I just couldn't take anymore. So yeah, you know, I feel you, and absolutely warrants a wish. I am 100% behind that. My last one, oh, I just had it, now it's gone, would be, what was it? I just had it.
Was it something silly or something serious?
No, it was serious, but it was something that would benefit. Oh, it was that I would make all the billionaires in the world, force them to have to do what, I can't remember his name, what the Patagonia founder did. So I would force them to give away maybe 99% of their business.
I feel like you're straying into the saving humanity territory.
Okay. All right. Well, then I would. So I can't do anything about not having billionaires. I mean, like, if there was I would make it so that the max someone could have in their bank account was $1 less than 1 million.
Oh, interesting. Ooh, interesting.
Oh, no, not 1 million. I meant 1 billion. But yeah, you could do 1 million. That'd be interesting.
That's enough to live. Well, almost, yeah.
Yeah, let's maybe do like, yeah, one. You could not have a value of more than $1 less than 1 billion.
You can wish that we can go back to like a barter system.
Yeah. I am actually reading a book called Braiding Sweet Grass right now, which is this beautiful, beautifully written book. And it's talking about how for so long we functioned, like giving money for something would be offensive, or even like in many ways, even saying thank you, because it was just like, exchange. Yeah. Like I do this.
Like true community.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, like, I think the place where we, like, where we struggle with that as a society the most right now is actually parenthood. And how the community aspect, like literally it was one of those things where we feel like if we hand off our kids to somebody for an hour, it's such a burden. It's such a burden on them. When really it's like, no, that's how it should be. That's how it used to be. You would step in and take care of everybody's kids. It was this communal thing. And exactly. I think that's why like postpartum depression and anxiety are so rampant is because we do not have that in our society.
Yeah. We feel like we need to do everything ourselves.
Yeah.
So true. Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today. And we will see you all again next week for another For Real-isode.